Hello, Grand Point. My name is Lawrence, and I serve as the lead pastor at Grand Point, and I have the honor of giving all of our campuses a Welcome to Vision Weekend. This is a weekend that occurs every year on the last Sunday of October. And the reason we do this is twofold. Number one is to remind ourselves of who we are. We are one church that meets in multiple locations. And second, it is to recommit ourselves to what we do. So when we talk about vision, it's not necessarily dreaming big dreams about what we want to do. It's more about discovering what God is already doing and then discerning what our part in the action is. So I had my annual eye exam last week at the Ludwig Eye Center in Chambersburg. And it was one of those complete exams that included refraction, right? That's when they put those drops in your eyes to dilate your pupils so that they can measure the focusing characteristics of your eyes. If you've ever had this done, you know that it takes about 10 minutes for the drops to work and then everything becomes a blur. Well, during that blur, the refraction happens and it determines whether or not you need a vision adjustment. So over the past month or so, the leadership at Grand Point has been going through what I'll simply call a refraction process. And there are a few adjustments that we now believe that God is making to our prescription. So we took our entire staff through an assessment that determined strengths and values of staff members and where we best fit within our decision-making processes. We brought in a chief strategy officer, Tony Morgan, who spent the entire day with us just to look at our systems, our processes, and our multi-site strategy and give us some advice on that. Now, if you've been around Grand Point Church over the past 7 years, you've no doubt heard about the 1224 vision. This is a vision that's rooted in the scripture from John 12:24, where Jesus says, "I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat, a single kernel of wheat, falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." This is a gaining by losing principle and a principle that we applied to our ministry. So we ask, right at the time when we were doing really well at gathering people, what if we die to the idea of gathering as many people as possible and send people out of our church? That's why we now have a Shippensburg campus and a Greencastle campus where there are people attending and serving that were not doing so before. And we never want to lose that vision of taking our ministry to new communities when the time is right to do that. We still believe that our greatest kingdom potential lies not in our ability to gather and inspire people, but in our capacity to equip and send them out as seeds into the kingdom of God. So when I got my eye exam last week, Dr. Saylor came back after the dilation, the refraction, and all that, and he says, "Your vision is good, but there have been some changes in your left eye, so I'm going to give you a slightly new prescription." Well, here at Grand Point, we believe that the vision that God gave us for multi-site ministry is still good, but due to the realities of leadership changes, facility challenges, and financial independence, we're just going to give a new prescription to the vision until God makes it clear that the timing is right for us to launch another campus. See, a vision principle that we hold is that vision is something that we discover rather than something that we create. It's when the heart of God is revealed in the mind of the leader. So we call this convictional knowing. We simply discover where God is at work, and then we join Him in that work. And when we join Him, He then uses our abilities, our gifts, our imaginations, our resources to make that vision a reality. I believe the best thing that could ever happen is for God's vision to become ours. And so the vision that I want to share with you today is not something that we sat around a table and created. It's not something that we read in a book. It's not something that we copied from someone else. No, it's something that God has clearly revealed by what He's already doing. And we simply want to respond by preparing and equipping all Grand Point Church members from every campus for deployment into this vision. There are three parts to this vision, and we call these vision lanes. This is not a circle, or it's not kind of a cylinder. No, it's a lane. It's a destination that takes us to or it's a path that takes us to a destination. So our vision, number one, vision lane number one, is to diligently prepare as many people as possible for deeper relationships with God and each other. Now, that sounds like I'm stating the obvious, but there's a lot of intentionality behind that. So our goal is for every person coming into Grand Point Church to be seen, known, loved, and valued. The state of Pennsylvania right now is home to about 12.9 million people. And according to a recent survey, 49% of the people within our state describe themselves as lonely. We believe that the church is a remedy for loneliness, or at least it should be. So we're going to give greater attention to our increasing our capacity for hospitality and care, because we really do want Grand Point Church, every campus, to be a place where every person is seen, known, loved, and valued. A few ways that we're putting this into practice would be with some new ministries. Coming this December is a brand new ministry called Ageless Ventures. That's a 60-plus ministry for our church and community members. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're in your 60s, and you're like, listen, I'm not ready to do potlucks followed by 3 hours of bingo. But if that happens, fine. But we're thinking about a 60s-plus bike ride on Pine Creek Trail, or a bus trip to Sight and Sound over in Lancaster, or other things like that. Whatever venture that our leader, Scott Despers, comes up with. And then in February of 2024, Grand Point Church will be hosting a Night to Shine, which is a prom event for adults with special needs. This is an all-hands-on event that serves some amazing people in our community. We're also going to be working toward the goal of increasing the percentage of people connected in small groups from 35.2% to 55%, and to increase the percentage of people serving from 28.5% to 50%. So a few statistical goals that we believe are achievable within this new year. So while this is not a new vision, it is a refraction that has given us an adjusted prescription to valuing people more than our programs. The second vision lane is to engage our community with radical generosity. So God has led us to three distinct communities, Chambersburg, Shippensburg, and Greencastle, which are home for approximately 32,000 people. Now, we believe that God has led us to these communities not to be an obscure church where we just meet with our friends, but to be a church that's actually engaged with the community outside of our doors. Like, we don't want to be one of those churches where people drive past and just wonder what's going on inside of that place. No, we want to take the guesswork out of church and give evidence all over our communities of what it means to be in a relationship with Christ. So a few vision goals or objectives in this lane is for every campus to have a designated community advocate or a team of advocates. These people will be appointed for the purpose of just building relationships and connections to community partners, to community events that already exist in the community. In some cases, that might mean working side by side with other ministry partners, or it might be something that we do as individuals, simply choosing to get our neighbors together for a block party or dinner party. So all that is a part of being an advocate for the community. Can I just say, you've already been doing this well, but our vision is simply to do it better. So let us know if you would like to be that community advocate or part of an advocate team, and we'll help you get started with that. In addition to community advocates, there will also be some community invitations. Invitations where we'll invite community business leaders to come to our church, or community pastors to come into our church for some roundtable collaboration and relationships that will help us determine how we can best serve and reach our communities. And the third vision lane is to have a greater participation with global partners. God's heart is to reach the entire world with the gospel. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his own son." And his tool is the church, a church that is wide open to opportunities, relationships, and partnerships with ministries in other cultural contexts. We believe that everyone wins when the body works together, right? So we're currently serving our global community partners right now in Bangladesh, medical missions in Haiti, with a sister church in India, as well as support through our denomination to ministries in Brazil, Kenya, Sweden, Thailand, Venezuela, Asia Pacific, and the Southwest. But we believe that God is enlarging our vision right now globally. We're currently in conversations with some ministry leaders regarding a potential church plant in a global community sometime in 2024. And as these details are gathered and coming together, we'll share them with you. But an exciting future awaits us with Global Connections. Just to conclude today, I just want you to know that the vision I shared with you today is simply a continuation of a valued past, but it also begins a new chapter in the amazing story that God is writing for our church. I can't think of a better time than now to be a part of the Grand Point story. I know I say that every year, but honestly, every season of our ministry builds on the past and prepares us for a future that goes beyond our expectations. So on behalf of Pastor Dan, Pastor Mike, the entire Grand Point Church staff and the elder team, thanks for being a part of our journey. In these last few months of 2023 and the coming year of 2024, we believe that God is going to do even more in and through our church. With a growing membership and now a completely staffed leadership team and what God is calling us to do through our vision lanes, we can't wait to see what He has planned for us in this next season of our ministry. So I want to thank you for your ongoing support and generosity. Grand Point Church, you are an amazing people. You are having a huge impact on helping people find and follow Christ. And finally, can I just say, to God be the glory for all that He's done through Grand Point Church. Have a wonderful day.
Wow, that guy was a little chatty, wasn't he? So in light of all that, my message will be very, very short here today, but I just want to follow up with that. But even to begin with something I'm pretty excited about. So we just closed the gap in our hiring process. We had some openings, and the Lord led us to close that in the last month. And we had, just to let you know about that process, we put this out there on national platforms. We had about 42 applications for these two positions that we just hired. And would you believe that we hired within, out of all those 42, the two people that we hired were from within our church. Simon Henry became the new executive director for ministries, and starting tomorrow, Cressa Coldsmith becomes the executive director of advancement. And what we realized in the process is that God has raised up people right within our own church who are probably the best qualified, you know, for these positions. And so to God be the glory, right, for that. About 2 weeks ago, yeah, go ahead and give applause for that. About 2 weeks ago, our director of youth ministries, Scott Eckenrode, went before our Eastern Region credentialing committee and received his annual ministry license. He's up there in the balcony. Scott, congratulations. Everybody say hello, Pastor Scott. Yeah, we love that. He's now a pastor and has all the privileges, and we like to remind him the responsibilities of being a pastor. So that was just a beautiful thing that God did with one of our own right here. This week, one of our members accepted a full-time ministry position at another church. We've been working with this individual. A couple of us have been trying to walk with him on this journey, sensing, determining his call, placement, where that might be. I can't tell you who it is or where he's going until next week, and then we're going to have like a commissioning or sending. But all that is to say, we are right before our very eyes right now, God is raising up the next generation of leaders. And that's exciting to be a part of. So I want to thank you as a church for just being encouraging, generous in your giving and your support, because God is doing some great things. Hey, I would just like to ask you this morning, how many of you are like planners? You just love planning. Vacation planning, event planning, all those things. You love spreadsheeting things, working the details, getting people involved with that. Yes, we're our planners. God only knows how much the rest of us need you, right? So thank you for being those planners. I want to talk to you today about plans. Plans that Grand Point Church is making in response to what God is doing, what God is revealing. This is Vision Weekend. Vision is seeing. It's seeing with clarity. It's kind of focusing in on things. And so it's kind of an eye exam for all of us, I guess, isn't it? But I want to be very clear that the vision that we're talking about today is not something that we created, but it is something that God has revealed. And there's a big difference in that. And I want to take you to the book of James today. It's kind of neat how the book of James, where we're at in speaking through the book of James, falls right on this vision weekend. We're right at James chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. And I want to talk to you with a sense of excitement and a sense of urgency as it relates to mission and vision and values and what we believe God is leading us to. And there's a couple reasons why there's urgency and why there's excitement in this, and they all come from this text of James chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. James writes, and he says, "Now listen." Now listen. I got to stop right there just to tell you how important those two words are. This calls for attention that indicates the seriousness of what is about to follow. Right, so if I'm up here and I'm preaching and I'm about an hour into it and I say something like, "Now listen," what I want you to know at that point is what I'm about to say is so important. If you forget everything else that I'm saying, check out on everything else. Remember what I say after I say, "Now listen." It's exactly what James is doing. And he's right here in chapter 4 and he talks about a lot of stuff. Right, we've covered a lot of things, a lot of heavy, convicting things, right? But he says, listen, now, there's something I want you to know more than anything else, and that is this. "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this city or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money." James is talking to the people who say that. And he says, I want you to hear something. I want you to get this. And then he asks the question, "Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are like a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, 'If it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that.' As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good that they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is," what? "It is sin for them." Now, I want to teach you a big word this morning that I believe captures the very essence of James chapter 4, verses 13 to 17, and it puts this whole biblical passage in perspective for us. That big word is presumptuousness. Presumptuousness. That simply means the quality of being presumptuous, or the quality of being rashly confident, or perhaps having a groundless confidence, or maybe an irreverent boldness or forwardness. Loaded definition, isn't it? But what it really means is this. If you're living presumptuously, we're most likely living with a wrong understanding of ourselves in relation to our own lives and our ambitions. Now, in the context of James, he's talking to the businesswoman or the businessman who's making money who's making plans to expand the business and make money as if those were the only issues to take into account. Let me be very quick to say that James is not saying that it is wrong to plan. It is not wrong to expand your business. It is not wrong to make money. The issue that James is addressing is doing all this and basically doing it independent of God as if everything depended on you, if it all depended on us. But even though James uses the business person and business principles as his illustration in this text, this applies to all of us, even those leading a local church. In his great book called Faith That Works, Kent Hughes says this. He says, "So pervasive is our culture's arrogant independence of God that many Christians attend church. They marry. They have vocations. They have children. They buy and they sell homes. They expand their portfolios. And they numbly ride the currents of culture without substantial reference to the will of God. Even worse," he would say, "many Christians never seriously pray about God's will regarding their vocation, their family direction, entertainment, or all those other things that we do. We very seldom seek God's will in that." St. Augustine used to say, "Love God and do as you please, because if you truly love God, you will do as he pleases." We've kind of switched that around and we've changed that to "do as you please" and then just say that you love God. And I think James is addressing that. He gives us two reasons why that is absolute foolishness. Number one is this. He says that is foolish just to do as you please and say that you love God. That is foolish, number one, because life is uncertain. Life is very uncertain. You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. So it's this bright and cloudless morning. A man is standing inside of his office window, and he's looking out over the horizon, over one of the best views that you could ever have of New York City. He works for Cantor Fitzgerald, one of New York City's most prestigious investment firms. And the man's standing there looking out his window, and he's holding a piece of paper. His last quarter returns have just come back three times better than what he had been planning for, than what he had been expecting. It's a good day. He has two sons, both of whom are now are freshmen at Ivy League schools on full scholarships, one on an academic scholarship and one on an athletic scholarship. He himself is in very, very good shape, great health. He just finished in the top 10 of the New York City over 40 triathlon. He's happily married. Things are great. The cloudless horizon that he's standing there looking out over just seems almost like a metaphor for his future. Tomorrow, he thinks, I'm going to invest in a new market. I'm going to spend a year making profits. Nothing but blue skies. The only problem is the date is September 11th, 2001. It's 8 a.m., and his office is the World Trade Center. Life is uncertain, isn't it? All of that has just gone away in a moment. Life can change with one simple phone call. This is the highway patrol. You need to come to the hospital immediately because your wife was in an accident. Or this is the doctor's office. You need to come in immediately because some unexpected things showed up on your scan. I almost hate to say that because I know that's hard for some of you to hear because you've received phone calls like that. Phone calls that just changed your life. Phone calls that completely reoriented your future. Phone calls that completely reshaped your motives and your next steps. Life is so uncertain. And what James is doing is simply acknowledging the reality that life is uncertain. He's also acknowledging that life is short. James describes it as a mist that's here for a little while. Mist or vapor, it comes from the Greek word atmos. It's where we get our word atmosphere. That's like your life, right? It's here. It's like a mist, and then it vanishes. Oh, man, life seems so long when you're in it, like especially when you're young. But as you get older, at least that's what I've heard, one of the disturbing things is how fast it all seems to have gone and how much faster it gets, you know, every year. Older people kind of get a witness, right? I've heard it said that when you're a child, time crawls. When you're in college, time walks. When you're a new parent, time runs. When you're older, time flies. When you retire, time vanishes, right? Someone once said, life is like a roll of toilet paper. Every revolution gets faster. So here's the thing. Listen, if you're in your 30s, 20s, 30s, whatever, listen, enjoy your flexibility and your vision now because it'll soon be gone, right? It changes. Life is short. And what Paul would say is, or what James would say is this, and because life is uncertain and life is short, and because both certainty of life and the length of your life is out of your control, it is simply foolish to presume that you are the master of your own life. And so James says, instead of being presumptuous, saying, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to build, this is where I'm going to go, the better thing to say is, what is it that God wants me to do? Now, we would take that principle and even apply it here to the church because this is not about what we want to do. It's not about what we want to build. It's not about where we want to go. The big question is, what does God want us to do? And so we kind of land on that. We have to come back to that and just seek what God's will is. And the way that we see that is what he's already doing. What is he putting right out in front of us as opportunities? And that's what we step into. Now, this is important for every area of life, and specifically including how we operate and function as a church. And that's why we have some guiding values, one of them being we value God's plans more than our plans. Now, here's why that is not only a good idea, but a wise way to live, and that is because God's ways are certain, right? Life is uncertain, but God's ways are certain. God never made a plan or set something in motion and then stood back and said, oops, right? He never did that. God, by his very nature, has established ways, and he's established plans for individuals from the very beginning of time. He had a certain plan for the redemption of his people from Egyptian bondage when he led them and guided them through the sea and through the desert by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He had a certain plan for the return of his people from Babylonian captivity by setting Cyrus on the throne and then just kind of stirring up his spirit. He had a certain plan to send the Jews to their homeland to build the temple. He had a certain plan for Jesus. In fact, when Jesus came into this earth, he did all of his business on his earth, and his business was doing the Father's will, right? And he had a certain plan for Paul. In 5 of the letters that Paul wrote in the New Testament, Paul announces himself as an apostle by the will of God. God has a will. God has a plan, and he has a plan for you. He has a will that's determined for you, every single one of us, those in this room, those watching online, every single one of us. And God has a plan for, and listen, you will never discover that plan by asking questions like, what do I want to be? What should I do with my life? What are my goals, my ambitions, my dreams for my future? Listen, by asking those questions, you might discover your plan for your life, but you will never discover God's plan for your life by looking within. You'll only discover God's plan for your life by looking to him. And that is so true with the church. We're never going to understand God's plan by looking within. What can we do? What do we want to do? No, we simply discover his plan by looking at him. And remember, his plans are certain. And when his plans are revealed, we can step into them with great confidence. Number 2, God's ways are eternal. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11, I became a servant of this gospel so that I can serve in the church and reveal the manifold wisdom of God to his eternal purposes for which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. God has certain plans for his people, and those plans are not limited to our generation. Those plans extend to the next generation and the next generation. In fact, they extend into eternity. The third reason why we appeal to God's will for our future is because God's way is obedience. The very last verse in the text that I'm working through this morning is verse 17, which simply says, if anyone then knows the good that they ought to do, if anyone discovers the plan of God, if anyone discovers the will of God, right, and does not do it, it is sin for them. It is never a minor thing to know God's will and then not do it. We can make all kinds of excuses for our disobedience. Oh, I'm not ready yet. I'll do that some other time. Doesn't make a difference anyway whether I do this or whether I give or whatever. Or maybe our excuse is even, I can't afford it. Listen, when we encounter God and he gives us a direction, it is not enough just to write it down in our journal. It's not enough maybe just to take that plan and share it with a few people. Hey, I believe God's wanting me to do this or whatever. It's not enough just to do that because God does not call us to make decisions. He calls us to be obedient. Deciding to obey is not the same thing as obeying. Sometimes we even talk about making a decision for Christ, and we invite people to come to the altar to raise their hand to make a decision for Christ. We even sing songs like, I have decided, right, to follow Jesus. But decisions are not necessarily the same thing as obedience. Jesus does not call us to make decisions. He says, come, follow me. Oh, now that does require a decision, but it doesn't stop with a decision. No, it's not enough for us just to determine what God's will is and put it down in this nice little booklet or put it on our website. That's not enough. See, if anyone knows what to do but doesn't do it, it is sin. So when we discover what God's plan is for our lives, what God's will is for our lives, what God's plan is for our church, and if we don't do it, we're sinning. James makes that very clear. So we're not going to stop with just saying this is what we've decided to do. Now we begin to put this into action. So I want to take this text from James, and I want to just overlay it to the vision that we believe God has given to us and that I want to share with you. So if you have your booklet, you can take this right now, and I know some of you are sharing. For those of you that are watching online, listen, let me just tell you that this booklet is now available as a download. We launched a brand new website on Monday of this week. Brand new website. If you haven't discovered it yet, you need to go on there. It is much more user-friendly, easy to get around, more information. This entire booklet is on the website. So if you're watching online, you weren't handed one of these this morning, but you can download it and follow along with me as I work through this. Just go to our, I believe it's the news and events, whatever, and you'll see this booklet on there. By the way, every photograph that was taken at our summer baptism is also posted on there. If you want to go back and review that or share that, it's an awesome thing. So check out our new website. But here's what we want to do. Let me just talk through this very briefly, and then we're going to wrap it up with a challenge this morning. But I want to begin by just giving you a welcome from the entire Grand Point Church staff. Isn't that a great group of people? Listen, and they're not here simply by coincidence. They are here serving you because of the will of God. We believe that when we hire somebody, when we determine who joins our staff, it is something that God is revealing to us in a very clear way. So we love our staff. The second page shows the new hires in 2023 and also the elder team. The elder team are your leaders. They're kind of at the very top of the org chart. And so they're the voting members of the church, and I want you, man, just to honor these guys, respect them, show your appreciation for them. They do a lot of work behind the scenes, and so if you're an elder in this room today, would you go ahead and stand? Let us just thank you for what you do and how you serve us so well. Elders, a couple of them right here, thank you. Thank you so much for appreciate you. God has brought us these great elders, and together as staff, elders, leadership, we are so privileged to serve people at the Chambersburg, Shippensburg, Greencastle campuses, and online. So we so appreciate the audience that's out there. And together, we guide people in taking the next steps. One of the next steps is baptism. This past year, we baptized 53 people through our Grand Point Church at the various campuses. We welcomed 49 new people into the membership, and we dedicated 40 children in the services of child dedication. That's a healthy congregation. It's a healthy church. Now, I want to just talk to you about the vision lanes that I already mentioned in the video that I presented before, and I'll try not to duplicate or say things again. But on page 12 of your booklet, we have described our number one vision lane as deeper relationships with God and each other. We truly do believe that the church is God's plan A for changing the world. We are it. We're the number one way that he has chosen to change this world, to be an influence in helping more and more people come to know Jesus Christ. So we want to be a part of that within the various communities that God has placed us in. And as we mentioned in that video, our goal is for every person to be seen, known, loved, and valued. And we're sincerely putting forth the efforts for that. So that increases hospitality and care and just connections in so many different ways. I'm excited about the Ageless Adventures coming up, 60 plus. Listen, I'm in that category. I was the first one to sign up out there. So Penny didn't even know I was doing that. So I'm in. Ageless Adventures coming up here. We're also excited about this special ministry to our special needs community that's coming up in February. Cressa is leading that. She has already told me she needs at least 130 volunteers to make that happen. We're going to need your help, but it is going to working together with King Street Church in town to make this ministry happen. So we love that collaborative effort with King Street, and it's just going to be an amazing night here at Grand Point, and some of you will need to be involved. Now, God is just showing us more and more ways to serve our special needs community. He's bringing the people to our church. He's opening these doors. Therefore, it has become one of our vision lanes that we want to step into. The second part of our vision then is greater engagement with community partners. On Thursday evening of this week, all of our community partners came to Grand Point Church. We sat around in the cafe and they all shared their frontline stories. And as they did, they thanked you and wanted to make sure that you received their gratitude for the support that you show. And we give regularly to these five community partners that are listed here that serve with transitional housing, human trafficking, serving underprivileged youth, Shippensburg University students, and more. You can see the outreach that we've had. Now, I will tell you that in 2024, most of our local outreach is not going to be asking people to come to the church. We're shifting that. We're not going to create outreach events here at the church. There will be a few that we do, such as what just happened this past Wednesday, Trunk or Treat. If you were here for Trunk or Treat, you know just how impacting that was. We had about 800 kids show up in our parking lot on Wednesday evening, over 60 cars, trunks that were dead. You overdid it. I mean, you were amazing. And the community, I just came out. I mean, it was a great night, but we had one individual from our church that gave away 500 Bibles, personally, purchased 500 Bibles, gave them out to our students. It's amazing. He ran out, after 500, could have given 300 more. Others of you, man, you just created your cars and your scenes with scripture and gospel. It was amazing how you served the community. We will still do some things like that, but our primary outreach is going to be determined by what's already happening in the community. If there's something that's happening in the community of Greencastle, Old Home Days or Sidewalk Days, we're going to go there and be part of that. If there's something that's happening in Chambersburg, we're going to go there. Instead of inviting the community to come here, we're going to go to where they are. And I believe that's going to be a better approach for us and reaching more people in that way. So if you know of community events that are happening and you would like to be that advocate or part of an advocate team, just let us know. The third part of our vision lane is then global partnerships. Now, I know that, man, some of us were like, wow, isn't there enough to do here? Isn't there enough within our own community? Why do we have to go overseas? Why do we have to go to India or Bangladesh? Listen, the fields are ripe everywhere, and we believe that God does call us to go even to the uttermost parts of the world. So it was on Friday morning, I received, my phone goes off at 4:20 a.m. Now, that's kind of the middle of the night for me. Not really. That's early morning, just so you know. But my phone goes off. And what's happening at that time over in Bangladesh and India is there's a group of leaders that are meeting together. They're sitting around the table and they're talking about Grand Point Church. And they're talking about the impact that Grand Point Church is having on their ministries. And so they text me at 4:20 a.m. our time. Now, I didn't answer it at that time, but they said, is there any way that Grand Point Church could send a team of people here in February? These pastors, these leaders need to be encouraged. They need Grand Point Church to come and just have a presence here to encourage these brothers and sisters in Bangladesh. By the way, the window of opportunity is closing for India. We may not be able to go to India very much longer, but right now we can still go there. So if God is laying that on your heart to take a big trip, let me know about that because I need to give a response. Also this week, on Thursday of this week, we had an international leader from Compassion International come to the church to meet with Cressa and myself to talk about an amazing possible opportunity to connect with Compassion International sometime in 2024. Now, we're going to seek God's will on this. The elders will certainly be discussing some of this as well. But all that is to say, the doors are wide open for global opportunities. And we just want to step into the ones that God is uniquely shaping Grand Point to meet. So some exciting things that are happening there. Now, if you turn one more page, I just want you to know that all of this is happening and can happen and will continue to happen because of your generosity. The next two pages are the financial status. Some of you are interested in finances. I'm not going to go through this, although it is extremely, extremely important. You can see that our projected giving for this year is just a little over $3 million. And that's amazing. It's a big number for a church, but it is allowing us to do what we do. And can I just say this? Due to your generosity and the faithfulness of God, we have paid off all debt in 2023. We are now debt-free for the first time since 2006. Seriously. Amazing. Can I just tell you this? So a couple of years ago, I determined that my tenure, my time here, will be to see the church debt-free. So, but I'll tell you, it came a little bit quicker than what I was expecting. So I'm not leaving. I enjoy serving a church that's debt-free, right? And so we're going to just put that money right into ministry. But it's because of you. It's because of you and your generosity, the way God has been using you. And so now, you know, it gives us opportunity, it gives us some margin to continue to expand our ministry to other places. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And I will close just taking you to this last page, just by letting you know that this past year, there have been many, many lives changed by Christ because of Grand Point Church and your ministry. Through our re-engaged ministry, marriages have been strengthened and restored. Through our regeneration ministry, addictions have been overcome and conquered. And I mean, you know how addictions work. But listen, people are finding strength. They're finding relationship. They're finding places to be a part of. Over 1,849 people have attended our worship services over the weekend. 145 households online. Thank you, online audience, for being a part of what God's doing here. 53 people baptized, 555 people involved in small groups, 114 people serving in adult discipleship, giving over $3 million. Listen, I could go on and on about the goodness of this church, but I just want to say, you know, it is about God, but God uses people just like you to make a difference. He's using you to build the church. He's using you to advance the mission. But I do have to say, just like you did in that video, to God be the glory. Great things he has done. It's about him. It's about him. Amen. But there is more to come. There's more to come. Listen, here's what we want to do. We've stationed the whole lobby full of cookies this morning and balloons and cider so that you can hang around and that you can talk. By the way, someone said that when cookies enter a church, the calories leave. So you're good. You're good. We've got sacred cookies out there. And man, eat up or take some with you to watch during the game here at 1 o'clock, whatever. Take some cookies with you. But listen, it's designed to have you just kind of linger, hang around, talk to us. We'll be in that. Several of us will be in that lobby. If you're interested in what the seniors, oh, I said seniors. I was never going to say that. The 60s plus ministry, Ages Adventure. There's a sign-up sheet out there for the first meeting in December. If you're interested in A Night to Shine, listen, that information, I think it'll be coming a little bit later. It's on the website. You can go on the website, sign up there. If you're interested in a trip to Bangladesh, right, let me know. I mean, just there's so many ways that you can be involved. Every single one of you has a place at Grand Point Church. Every person here is valued. You are the church. We are the body of Christ. We're the hands. We're the feet. We're the voice. We're the body of Christ. That's a wonderful thing. And let me pray for us. God, it's so good just to be in this place today and to be reminded of your plan for changing the world. It's through the local church. And we're so grateful that we're not the only church, but that we're just one of many churches in this community that are partnering together just to make a difference in Franklin County, in the state of Pennsylvania, and around the world. God, I thank you for those that are gathered in this room this morning, those who are worshiping with us online. Together, we're the church. For those meeting over at Greencastle, for those meeting in Shippensburg, it's just a beautiful thing again how you have, the way that you have pulled us together. God, my prayer would be that you would give us clarity of vision and boldness to step into it, because when we know what to do, we've got to do it. We've got to do it. God, help us to be obedient to your call and to what you're revealing to us. We just thank you, Lord, for the church. In Jesus' name, amen.